Darth Sidious was also thinking about the Jedi. Their fire was dying in the galaxy. Of that there was no doubt. For more than 1,000 generations, they had been the self-appointed paladins of the Commonweal. But that was now coming to an end, and the pathetic fools, blinded up by their own hypocrisy, could not see the thread of this.
Sounds really fucking lame, Niamh.
It's a really good book.
It's not a good... What's the title of the book?
Star Wars Darth Maul Shadowhunter.
Niamh, that's Star Wars Yowie.
That's you're reading officially branded Star Wars Yowie.
Yeah, I'm in for that.
Fair enough. Welcome to episode 53 of the Let's Fight a Boss cast, the world's strongest video game podcast. And this week we are reporting to you live from Los Angeles, the city of angels.
The city that never slept because it was always awake.
Screaming.
Yeah, screaming. What do you guys think of? We've been in LA for the LA Anime Expo, which is all done and dusted now. Recording this Friday morning, which means you'll probably be hearing this if you're a real fan. You'll be hearing this probably like an hour or two after we record it. We're also on backup equipment, and we probably won't have time to give this the love that we usually do because we're on holidays. But we also don't want to let a week go by without doing a podcast.
Yeah, like we're all here, all three of us, may as well do it.
Yeah.
LA special.
And our three girlfriends.
We've
kicked out of the apartment so we can record this.
Well, they're down at the swimming pool. They're having a good time.
Yeah. Probably complaining about us.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, like, understandable, honestly. Yeah. But, yeah, we went to Anime Expo and that was fun.
It was insane.
Actually, you know what? Let's start at the beginning. Let's start with the plane trip. We were on an 11-hour... Was it 11 hours?
11 hours, yes.
11-hour flight. And I watched the movie Split. The fairly well-received kind of new venture from... M. Night Shyamalan. Guys, that movie is a piece of fucking garbage.
You've been so upset since you watched that movie. Like, throughout the holiday, John just goes, Split was so bad.
But I'd understand it if people were like, oh, fucking M. Night Shyamalan, shit again. Now, his previous film, The Visit, I think that's an excellent horror film. I love that film. This one, it's so bad on so many levels, and it does this fucking thing. Do you ever notice that, like, whenever someone does, like, an accent in a movie, people are like, they were amazing in that film. The actor, the guy who plays the crazy person, he does a bunch of different, like, accents and shit, one of whom is, like a four-year-old child, which is maybe the most cringe-inducing thing I've ever seen in my life. He talks with a lisp, like a four-year-old child with a lisp for some reason.
This is James McAvoy, who plays Professor X in the prequel trilogy.
I like James McAvoy. He's a good Professor X. This was fucking terrible. And like the ending, I've heard so much about this ending and how it's like, whoa, it'd blow your mind. It was just so bad. Brian, you saw this film?
I saw it in the cinema. Because I was told that there was a very impactful ending and I needed to find out what this was. I loved the ending of Split.
Really?
Really? Why?
Because it was for me.
But did you like it in the kind of way you like things where you just like to watch the world burn?
Yeah. That's a shit film. But how the fuck do you pull that off as an ending and make that acceptable?
You don't. You absolutely don't, yeah. And they didn't.
That was just for me.
I'm going to watch this on the flight back. Because I watch better movies.
What'd you watch, Niamh?
Triple X Return of Xander Cage.
Go on.
So it's Vin Diesel's new Triple X movie. I was really happy to see it, but it's pretty bad. Like,
yeah.
He's like, I love Vin Diesel, but he's a potato.
Yeah, I thought you were watching some weird, like... Cuban action film with like, you know, kind of an old actor in it, because you know the other countries use old actors.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while I was like, oh no, wait,
that's Vin Diesel. He just like showed up to all these parties where like it was Hot Babe Island all the time and Hot Babe.
We should go to Hot Babe Island.
I know,
although we kind of are later.
But everything in between the action scenes was really 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 bad, but all the action scenes were really good because like Donnie Yen's in it as well, so they have a fight in traffic where they both just get hit by a car and then they look at each other and smile.
Cool. That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
That's really mm-hmm. cool.
So, like, it's worth watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's hilarious. Like, he's like, I need to get my fur coat. And then he gets his fur coat and he looks like shit in it. But It's really cute.
I saw that.
I watched two really good films. I watched Free Fire, which is Ben Wheatley's new film. He's the guy who made Kill List, and he made High Rise last year with Tom Hiddleston. But Free Fire is about a gang who buy guns, and they have the briefcase full of money, but it all goes wrong, and the whole movie takes place over 90 minutes in a warehouse where they're all shooting at each other.
I think I'm definitely going to watch that on the way back.
Such a great idea for a film.
And Brie Larson's in it as well, yeah. And she's amazing.
It kind of feels like a Western, but it's like a gangster movie, but it kind of blends genres. It's really, really gross as well. It's got the guy from District 9, the South African guy.
Oh, he's great.
I can't remember his name. His voice is so funny.
Yeah.
Is it set in Ireland?
It's got Cillian Murphy, and he's like full on like Cork accent. Mm. Also, that's Cillian's actual voice because he's from Toker. And yeah, it's really, really good. I highly recommend it.
That's from same guy's Kill List?
Yes.
Does it have any of that like nightmare inducing feel of Kill List, or is it kind of just a different beast?
There's one bit where a character gets shot in the nose and it looks really gross.
Right.
Because that's not a cool place to get shot.
No, totally not.
In the middle of the nose.
It's like, nose stuff is really visceral. What's the movie? Pan's Labyrinth, when the guy gets his nose crushed by the bottle. That is stuck in my head forever. It's pretty gross.
Then I watched John Wick 2. I love the John Wick films. John Wick 2 is... So they are... I don't know if they're directed or if they're choreographed by the same people who did all the action sequences in the Matrix trilogy. But it's that team working with Keanu, because Keanu loved doing the martial arts in the Matrix.
Yeah, apparently he gets super, super into that.
Yeah, he loves it. And so this is kind of like... It's kind of like watching a weird, pulpy comic book movie about an assassin and the world of assassins, and how they're among us, but they have like their own code. And they have like these special things where there are these hotels, and you pay with gold coins for drinks at these hotels, but they're safe grounds, and so other assassins can be there, and you can interact with each other, but then when you leave the hotel, you have to kick the shit out of each other.
That's cool. That's really cool.
I think you guys would really, really like it. Mm. But there's a bit where he meets the king of the homeless people, and it's perfect casting. Back together again. I was so happy.
What was Ruby Rose like in it?
She plays a deaf girl, and... They keep hyping her up, but her fight is like 2 minutes long.
She's been in so much stuff. She's been in the most recent Resident Evil film. She was in Return of Xander Cage. She's in John Wick 2. Like Ruby Rose is a babe. She's not that great of an actress, though.
No. She's pretty good at sign language, and like she does cool hand gestures.
That's all you need. Cool.
Like, she looked great.
That's, again, all you need. From Ruby Rose.
She is a total babe, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was in Orange is the New Black a few years ago, and everyone freaked out.
She's a celesbian.
Is she a DJ
is
that, as
is
well?
That word,
yeah, yeah.
Is that word your invention, Eve?
No.
It's a pretty good word.
She's an Australian DJ / model / tattoo activist.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, that's really
cool. She's like the coolest human.
Yeah.
Neve, you watched Lego Batman.
I did. It was super cute. I was really happy to see it. I'm going to rewatch it because the little screen did not do it justice.
It's a beautiful film.
Yeah, just absolutely gorgeous.
I love that
gorgeous
movie. When I watched it, I kept going through it frame by frame because they use smears in it.
Mm.
But the smears are made out of Lego blocks.
So cool.
because it's made by Warner Brothers. And so it has Chuck Jones style animation. And... Like, they really, really, really pushed some of the poses.
I feel for a long while there, like, smears became really outdated in animation, which is terrible. But then, like, you started seeing them come back in all these weird ways. Because, like, there's smears in Guilty Gear, and then the smears in the Lego movie, which should be, like, the most unsmearable fucking thing.
But it's 3D animation, and smears shouldn't
exist
in those rigs.
But people are just figuring them out now, and it's so cool.
It was gorgeous looking, and Batman was hilarious in
it. Will Arnett he's a fantastic actor.
Best Batman movie.
I watched about the first third of it, but then we were landing or some shit. And I did like it, but I felt like I wish they had cut out 2/3 of the jokes. Because I kind of felt like that...
That's a kid's movie.
No excuse at all. But I just felt like that there were so many jokes, and a lot of them kind of didn't really land, or they were just kind of like, And then that was it. And then, like, every third one would be an actual great joke that would, like, make me laugh.
I bought into the humor of it so much. I really liked it. I like when Alfred was trying to, like, get Batman to just be a human. And he was like, no, no. And he was just flipping up in the stairs. It was just some good stuff.
Yeah, he doesn't wear, like, he does not wear that mask for maybe a minute of the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, Alfred's like, take off your cowl, master. He's just like, no. It's just like, he's just really cute. It's the cutest Batman has ever been.
Yeah, but he's still Batman.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's kind of, that's what makes that film awesome.
I liked when they showed, like, previous iterations of him, and, like, it was just Lego versions of, like, the Chris Nolan trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the Joel Schumacher films. But then it goes all the way back down to the Adam West one, but that's just live-action footage of Adam West dancing.
It's like the weird time in your life.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to watching the rest of that one. I can't remember what else I watched, so it couldn't have been very good. I'm totally going to watch La La Land on the way back. Because I'm never going to watch La La Land unless it's on a plane.
I hate that movie so much.
I know. And I from everything I've heard, it sounds like something that I would really fucking hate.
Yeah.
And maybe if I hate it enough, I can get a video out of it. So.
Yeah, I can't believe it's made by the same guy who directed Whiplash.
That's insane. It's like it has Whiplash no
is so good.
Personality. It's dead. Fucking a dead movie.
Yep.
I'm going to rearrange the sections a little bit. We're going to move into our quick time events, then strategy talk. So without further ado, here's our quick time events! I don't know if we're going to have time to edit it, so we just got to make do.
It'll just have top and tail music, probably.
Cuphead won't be coming to PS4 ever.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think if, like, Sony gave them a big enough check, would they do it?
I have a feeling that Microsoft have development money in Cuphead.
Yeah.
And that's the only situation where you can just never, ever bring it.
So, when they showed the first trailer of this, they said it was an Xbox exclusive. And people were kind of like, it's probably timed or whatever. But they did a Q&A recently, and someone was like, is this ever coming to anything other than Xbox? And they were like, no, it's not. But we own the rights to Cuphead, which kind of suggests that any sequels would be for, like, multi-platform. But it really sucks. But it's, like, PC as well.
But, like, how long have they been working on this game?
5 years.
About 5 years. Yeah. Like, we're going to get a sequel in 5 years?
Well, if it does well, maybe they'll have, like, the funds to have maybe, a bigger studio or something. Who knows?
Yeah. It was meant to come out a year ago, but it kept getting delayed and delayed. But I think it is coming out very soon.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing is, like, it will be out on PC as well. It doesn't look like a game. It's going to be hardware intensive, so at least there's that side of things. And that sucks, but between the option of not playing Cuphead at all and playing Cuphead, I'll totally take playing on PC. New Overwatch, long-awaited reveal of Doomfist.
This is awesome. They have a new animated short for the Doomfist reveal.
It's a really good short.
It's from Wolf Smoke Studio. Did you guys ever see the Shanghai Batman or Batman of Shanghai?
Yeah, they're beautiful.
That's the same studio who did this.
Wow.
So this is like Doomfist taking on Genji and Tracer and Winston, and it's just awesome looking.
I liked how far they went with that trailer. I fucking love when he takes Tracer's time portal thing off.
Mm-hmm.
That's really fucked up because Tracer has this, like, portal thing on her chest that, like, keeps her in the modern time. And he breaks it, and so she starts, like, flipping out over time and space. And it's like, a really messed up thing to do with someone. Yeah.
Oh, so it's like, she's like Tony Stark with her...
Yeah, if she doesn't have her chrono accelerator on, she, like, disappears through time. And Winston made the chrono accelerator to keep her kind of grounded here, because kind of Overwatch basically did that to her by accident. So, like, Winston sees him rip it off, and Winston goes crazy into his rage mode.
Yeah. I love his voice actor. I thought... So I'm kind of hit and miss with some of the Overwatch voice actors, but I thought he sounded amazing.
He looks sexy, and he sounds sexy.
Yeah.
So, will he definitely be playable?
He's in the PTR right now, so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. What kind of... He's, like, a high-speed melee character?
Yeah, he's offense, and, like, he's huge, so you kind of expect maybe he's a slow-moving tank, but his thing is speed. He is, like, a speedy boy. And, like, his ult is, like, he punches his gauntlet down into the ground and it does, like, big area damage. Like, he's really cool. I can't wait to play
him. Yeah, I like any of the DLC characters I haven't really been interested in playing as. Even though I kind of like their designs, I'll totally play as this guy. Although I think we can definitely expect, like, a couple of Doomfist versus Doomfist versus Doomfist matches.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I saw a screen grab on it, and it said, when you, it showed a picture of Doomfist with his big arm, and it said, when you've been single for 27 years.
Oh dear.
But yeah, he looks cool. What do you think people, I've seen people pretty pissed off about, like, all the bad dudes, all the bad guys in Overwatch are people of colour.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, every, like, he's part of Talon, he's kind of the boss, and then there's Reaper, who's like, Brazilian, is he Mexican?
He's Mexican, and so Sombra.
Yeah, and Sombra, and then, like, Widowmaker is French, but she's, like, there against her will. Like, that kind of sucks. Hopefully they'll even that out a little.
Because the only other, like, the only good guy is Lucio.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really, really good, though.
Yeah, he's, like, the goodest guy.
Yeah. You could totally see, like, a meeting at Blizzard, and, like, they do the poster of, like, all the bad guys, and they're like, man, looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit, wait a minute. But he looks cool. I'm really excited to play as him. I'm still surprised that I want to play Overwatch. You know, like, I still want to play Overwatch.
John brought his PlayStation all the way to LA, and like, we've been playing it here.
Yeah,
it's kind of amazing.
Me and a girlfriend have been playing it and completely fucking up my win-loss record, because now there's like wins.
Been unlocking achievements for you. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and we've been playing a bit of Guilty Gear, but we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. I'm sorry. I love Bykin so much. She's so important.
She's pretty cool.
She's great.
We'll get to that. I didn't know this Tekken Bowl coming in DLC.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit.
So, Tekken Bowl was introduced in Tekken Tag, wasn't it? And coming in DLC for Tekken 7. Was it in any of the other games?
No. It was only in Tekken Tag, and then there was, like, Tekken Ball in Tekken 3.
Okay.
And I don't think there was any other, like...
Maybe you could play it in Tekken 5 through the option of going to play the old games, but I don't think it was a new mode or anything.
I think it... Oh, maybe, maybe. Because I think Tekken Tag... Tekken 5 had 1, 2, 3,
mm-hmm.
and then Bull was in Tag 1.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I'd like that. I'm still, like, I still think Tekken 7 is great, but I have a few matches, and then I'm kind of like, ah, shit. Especially in the big boy leagues, it's not fun.
Tekken Bull would bring you back.
It totally would. I got in a bitter, bitter rivalry with a friend in Tekken Tag 1, and then a way more vicious rivalry in Tekken Tag Bowling. Like, we got to the point where we're like, okay, you can't use this character, you can't use this character, you can't use this character.
Couldn't you unlock, like Dr. Svanovich? Is that how you say it? By hitting him with the ball. Wasn't that, like, the secret unlock for him?
In Tekken Tag?
Yeah, yeah. You have to, like, knock the ball off the alley and bang into him, and that's how you unlocked him.
If that, wow. I gotta look this up real quick, because if that's true, that's fucking insane. I never knew it.
I wish they like hopefully they'll put something. There was some kind of Easter egg in it for sure, so I hope that returns.
And the only way you'll find out is you have to buy that one magazine, that video game magazine that tells you to do this.
Yeah, with big head mode and all of that.
I remember GoldenEye DK mode. I was so excited about that. I love anything that messes around with the character's proportions, where they're just like. Because they have the rig of a character, and they're like, okay, well, we have all the head on one null, so let's just scale up that null so their head is massive, but their body is still the same size.
I wish they kind of did that more, but I guess it would mess with, like, hitboxes and people being super serious now, but, like input codes are cool.
Yeah.
Bring them back.
Well, they're DLC now.
Yeah.
It's shitty. We've lost so much to that, like, I mean, there's so many things that used to be just like, hey, do this weird thing in this game, but now, like... One part of it is, like, marketing teams are like, wait, you want to put resources into something that 5% of the players are never going to see? And then the other part of it is like, well, we could just sell that, you know?
Yeah.
It sucks. I think that's why games like Meat Boy and stuff, or not Meat Boy, Binding of Isaac, are kind of important.
Yes.
Because they're designed not to be figured out.
Mm-hmm.
But,
that's nearly a genre now.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm really excited to play some Tekken Tag, or some Tekken Bowling. And... New Squid City. I've only watched this trailer muted. Are these the new Squid Sisters?
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
Have you seen the art?
Nope, I've not seen. I missed the Splatoon Direct yesterday.
Okay.
But yeah, they're the new Squid
so
Sisters.
So you don't know what they look like?
I have no idea.
Let's fight a boss audience. We have a very special live reaction coming to you right now as Brian sees the new Squid Sisters.
All right, here I am looking up on my phone Splatoon Direct.
it has Twitter very divided. A lot of people hate them, and then a lot of people love them. I think they're cool. I think they're great designs.
I think they're amazing. I love them because a lot of people seem really into the sexy one.
Yeah.
And I think she's really cool. But I love the gross one as well. I love how she's like a weird little goblin.
She has this little gummy toot.
Oh, so one's albino, I guess. One's black. Is that what they're going for?
Yep.
Well, one is like she's the nice shy black girl, and then like there's this horrible little gummy goblin who's her best friend.
They're great.
They're so good.
There's nothing wrong with them.
I actually think I prefer them to the old Squid Sisters, and I really like the old Squid Sisters.
I'm sure Calamari are in it too.
Yeah.
Well, isn't the story something like?
Oh, they're missing.
Yeah. Or I think it might just be Callie that's missing because she lost the vote.
Fuck.
Fucking lore, man. It's deep.
Yeah. I'm getting pretty excited for Splatoon 2.
Yeah, that game's out in like 2 or 3 weeks. That's cool.
The fan art for them has been so fucking cool.
Yeah, people are fast. Super fast.
I think Nintendo is really getting good at sexy black characters saving their games.
Yeah.
Could you remember how muted people were before Twin Tails came out in ARMS? And now everyone's like, oh my god,
she saved ARMS.
She's literally saved ARMS.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with a good ass and a sexy walk, and ARMS was saved.
That's all you need.
That's all you need.
Actual ARMS.
Yeah. And with that, we're going to move into our strategy talk. Something like that?
Yeah.
Sure. There we go. We haven't played too much because we've just been traveling. We've been here for like nearly a week and a half.
Yeah.
But we have been playing some stuff. Me and Brian got The Binding of Isaac on the Switch, and I played through I just beat the first run through on it. That seems like the best version of that game. I wish I didn't kind of hate that game, but I love that game. But I hate the effect. I hate what it turns me into.
It's Isaac on the go.
It's Isaac on the go. Now he will always be with me.
I got Cave Story Plus as well. I haven't played that yet, but I got that on the Switch, and you open it up and it comes with a soundtrack CD, but it's a mini disc the size of a GameCube disc, and it has an instruction manual that is a recreation of a Game Boy instruction manual.
That's awesome.
It's so fucking cool.
Yeah,
it's crazy to open up a Switch box and have something inside other than a tiny cartridge.
Yeah. You also got a Switch game?
Yeah, Brian let me borrow his Mario Kart while I was in Artist Alley because I didn't want to talk to people. And I was just like, oh shit, I like this. I like this a lot. So when we went on our Target trip, I picked up a copy for myself and I'm really having a lot of fun. I love Roy. He's a really cute little guy.
He's really mean.
Yeah, I relate.
It's a cool dude.
But it's gorgeous looking. Really, Breath of the Wild looks amazing, but this is the nicest thing I've seen on Switch so far, for sure.
It's so impressive.
Nintendo are the fucking masters. They don't really doing amazing looking games without a million bytes of RAM.
This is a milestone for me because it's the first Mario game I've ever bought. I played Mario 3DS. It came free on my 3DS.
Mm.
And everything else.
I couldn't believe how quickly sold on it you were.
Yeah, I was like, shit, damn it. It was one of those things, if I never played it, I would have never wanted it. But then when I played it, I was like, oh, okay, this is a really good reason to own a Switch.
And Fine. It's weird, because you say Mario Kart, and it's obviously this just monstrous franchise. What are the fucking sales figures behind Mario Kart Wii? That outsold basically everything ever, didn't it?
It outsold the entire Halo library.
That's insane.
Yeah, and you just don't think. But then it's such a mainstream game that it's really easy to just be it's kind of, it just appeals to everyone. But the art direction, especially in that new one, is so strong. The way the tracks are designed and the lighting and everything, mm-hmm. I think it's such a beautiful game.
There's something about every track in that game that has a pro to it. Have you gotten the hang of power sliding?
Yeah, I was doing it all night and I was really annoyed for ages. I was just like, god damn it, Brian showed me and I'm still not getting it. But by the end of that, by the time my Switch had died, I was just like, okay, I get it now.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's really good. That's an excellent game.
Yeah.
I also picked up Anime Expo. I got Guilty Gear Xrd Revelator 2 for a really good price. This is the third time I've bought a version of Guilty Gear Xrd. And the main reason I bought this was I was basically paying $30 to play as Baikon. And after going through the game with her a little bit, money well spent. they have done such an amazing job on her. Like, she's so fucking cool. Like, everything from, like, her idol animations to her instant kill is one of the coolest things I think I've ever seen. Where it's, like, she does, like, this big samurai slice. And, you know when, like, samurai slice bamboo? And it's, like, slides off slowly? She does that, except it's to an entire building and you.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool. If you don't know what Baikon looks like, she's a pink-haired samurai missing one eye who's, like... She just drinks sake and smoke her pipe. It's, like, she's really cool.
She's also missing an arm.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking dope.
She's all fucked up,
just the way we like them.
Mm-hmm. But wait, is the Bleach character missing an arm as well?
Yeah.
Okay, she's totally just a reference to Baikon.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I played Super Metroid on my 3DS on the way over. But I hit a dead end, and I was like, oh, I need my walkthrough. I've beaten that game a few times, but it's always spaced out.
It's easy to get stuck in it.
Yeah, and so I got stuck in the game, and I was like, I was on my flight, and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not paying, like, money for that shitty Wi-Fi that they apparently have on flights.
So, which one of us, like, did you play the Switch on the flight?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't.
You did? Yeah.
I will on the way back.
I did a little bit as well.
I thought it was... I was playing King of Fighters 97 and, like, big blocky sprites. It worked totally fine. Mm-hmm. You said you were trying to play Disgaea.
Yeah, I kind of, like... I didn't find it particularly comfortable. I didn't set up on the tray or anything. It was just handheld, but, like, I don't really... I don't know. It didn't work for me, but I think it was my first time turning on Disgaea 5, and I was disappointed by the art style.
Yeah, because it's gone back to... regular anime.
Yeah, like, I played Disgaea 1 to 3, and I really liked it, and I had no idea that the art style would have been changed to 8-head-height bodies from, like, 4 or 5.
Disgaea always had, like, the coolest, like, take on sort of chibi art
style.
Yeah,
yeah, it's, like, gorgeous, and, like, the cover of the box is the chibi art style, the sprites are kind of that kind of chibi style as well, but, like, the little cutscenes are just kind of just standard character designs, and I was just like, oh, okay, so that kind of... I think I had to let that settle within me before I went back to play it, because there was a moment of disappointment.
Definitely. No, I felt the exact same when I played through the demo. It was actually what put me off buying it, because, like, if I'm going through Disgaea, I want the weird little chibi stuff.
Yeah, you know? Like, I bought those art books. Like, I really, really, really loved the art style of Disgaea, and it was just, it was a shock that
what's,
I didn't know.
What's the name of the studio who made Disgaea?
No idea.
That doesn't matter. I have so many of their art books. Like, mm-hmm. I have art books of theirs for games. I've never played Phantom World, but I just have that art book because it looks amazing.
I wonder why they decided to change the art style up. Like, I mean, it was working for them for 4 games.
Yeah, I don't know. Because, like, it's... I think they're just trying to make it sexier.
Yeah.
Know? Which is weird, because that's already pretty... There's a lot of sexy characters in Disgaea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Special shout-out before we move on. To Dizzy's instant kill from Guilty Gear. I think we all watched that and we're like, what the fuck?
It's pretty good.
That was really, really good.
If you haven't seen that, that's going to be my loot drop later. Check that out. But we're going to move on into a very special Anime Expo strategy talk.
All right, here we go.
No, wait.
Anime, we love you. Anime.
That was their official theme song.
Yeah, that's the anime song. I'm singing into a glass.
I couldn't believe... Yeah, so we all went to Anime Expo, as we've kind of been talking about, and man, that's a fucking huge con. Like, I've been to some big cons, but that was overwhelming, the size of that one.
That's, like, the biggest con I've ever been to. In Dublin, the largest con is Dublin Comic Con, which fits 20,000-30,000 people. This is 100,000 people plus.
Yeah.
So it was, like, it was kind of crazy. It took me a while to adjust.
We were smart in that we went 2 days beforehand and picked up our badges, which was very, very fortunate.
Me and Brian just walked in, like, got the badges, left, no queuing or nothing.
Because they had badge pickup on... So the con started really officially Saturday morning. But on Thursday evening, they were open till 11 p.m. You could just walk in, pick up your badge. Took a whole 2 minutes.
And now... You just hear all these reports of people waiting in line for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you bought, like, a day pass and you spent 5 hours in the blistering heat?
Just to go in for the Saturday to walk around for half an hour.
I would just fucking leave. Like, once hour three hit and that line wasn't moving much, I'd be like, okay, fine, whatever, I'm cutting my losses here.
Yeah. But I don't know, because at that point, I'd be like, I've invested 3 hours in this, and maybe I'm close.
It's just awful, but, like, it does seem like a badly run con, in terms of, they let way too many people in.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think they have the manpower to deal with that amount of numbers. Mm-hmm. And, like, even we were doing Artist Alley, and, like, the only people who ever came by, and, like, the girl who came by did seem lovely, but it was, like, she only came by to check our seller's permits. There was no, like, there was no giving out water. There was no kind of like checking where we are, right? It was just, it felt very kind of sterile, you know? Yeah. And like, maybe we're just used to doing smaller cons, but the very least I expect when you're doing an Artist Alley at a con is that they bring water to you.
Yeah, it's like in the LA heat, it's kind of like in QCon in Belfast, we were like overly hydrated, yeah. You know?
And like, it's $400 for a table as well. So like, mm-hmm. the least they can do is bring you some water.
And the Artist Alley is a car park.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's a car park with like the hardest floor. And I stand when I'm selling because I just prefer it. But my feet were like destroyed by the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. And since you guys are kind of the odd one out at the Artist Alley, a lot of them have mesh cages. The cages mm-hmm. all around with all their prints hanging up. But they had rules that they can only be like...
Four cages high.
Otherwise they will like collapse.
Whenever I'm beside someone setting up one of those cages, they're so stressed and it keeps falling apart.
They're really hard. Like, we bought those cages just to kind of, like, put them together, but we never use them because they're stressful to put together.
I bet.
Did you guys get to check out the trade hall much?
Oh, yeah. I went around the trade hall loads. It was amazing. Like, it was really cool, but, Jesus, I think I did hit a limit where I'm like, okay, now I know how big I like my cons. Because before I was like, just make them as big as possible. But it was like, I had so much trouble, like, oh shit, look at this cool thing. And then finding it again later was so difficult.
Yeah.
But there was some fucking awesome stuff there.
What did you guys get? What was your haul? What was your con haul?
Oh, man.
I got a Felix the Cat vinyl toy.
We're going to put some of this on the Instagram.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So check out the Let's Fight a Boss on Instagram. See all our bullshit.
I got some cool original art, actually. There's a girl I follow on Instagram called Salis Art. And I didn't know she was going to be at Anime Expo, but I bought one of her original drawings because I really, really, really like her stuff.
Tyson Hess was there. He's the guy who's been doing the promotional stuff for Sonic Mania. And I bought a Sonic print and got him to sign it. He was really lovely. And another artist I really like, Scrotum Nose. He was, yeah, I know. Shout out to Dave. He was like the loveliest guy ever, and I bought like 3 of his art books. And Duke of Flies as well. I bought his art book. It's just like, I managed to find all the animator dudes.
Yeah. I bought the art book of Marielle, I think is her name is. She's the lead animator on Indivisible and Skullgirls. And I just really love her style. She draws girls with boobs and muscles, and that's cool.
I made friends with a guy who is on the art direction team on Steven Universe.
Nice.
I got some cool prints off him. I got loads of pin badges, which... I guess that's my new thing.
I also got a really cool Doflamingo figure because I really wanted one of him, especially after the last video, and I just found one where he looks really mean and I'm super happy, and I'm going to put on the Let's Fight a Boss.
Oh, I got some retro Pokemon toys. They're from like 1997, 1998.
Oh, the Bulbasaur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're 20 years old. So I have a Bulbasaur, Ivysaur, Venusaur kind of like diorama. And I also have a... It's made by Tomy, and you have to build a Pikachu, but it has a wind-up thing, and he walks along the ground.
That's really cute. I managed to pick up some SH Figure Arts Dragon Ball figures that I collect. I got Android 16 here.
What did you do with them, Niamh?
I put them in a bowl of French Toast Crunch. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, my French Toast Crunch.
Brian very nicely left out 3 pieces of French Toast Crunch for me, and I was like, we need a bowl for this.
Niamh took that as a hint to have my cereal. I didn't mind.
Yes, you did. I can see it in your face.
The little toast slices
I want her to feel bad.
Are the perfect size for action figures to eat, so Frieza and Android 16 enjoyed their crunchy dinner.
I just want to know, like, at what point between, you know, being turned into a good guy and getting his head crushed by Cell, did Android 16 develop this taste for French toast?
He always had it.
Yeah. He just didn't get the chance. Okay.
You know how in that arc, there's a lot of, like, them going hitchhiking and going around roads?
That's my favourite bit of the whole fucking thing. When Android 18 is like, I want to buy new clothes.
So, when all the androids are just going around hitchhiking, I bet they went into a diner and tried French toast.
Yeah, probably.
That's it. And, like, 17 and 18 had it, and they were like, this tastes like shit.
16 just ordered a giant stack.
And he was like, I think this is amazing.
I bet 16 ate one, and he was like, yeah, guys. And, like, a little tear, because he's sensitive. He's a sensitive boy.
And I found a very special item. Well, Brian found it for me. Before we went, I like to draw vintage toys, and one of my favourite one was a 1969 Bullmark Godzilla on trike, which was recreated in 2006 by Mego. And I never thought I'd see a real one in real life, and Brian found one.
It's wonderful and hideous.
It's Godzilla on a tricycle, but the tricycle has a spiral hip kind of, yeah, late 60s kind of design.
Mm-hmm. You wind him up and he goes in a little circle. It's really cute. And I was really happy to get him. And I debated for a few days, should I buy him? And I was just like, no, I need to. And
I think you're on holidays.
Mm-hmm. But like, do you ever have that where you're like, I don't know if I should buy this. And then you leave it for a day or two and you're still thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's when you should buy it.
I'm kind of afraid of it because it's something I've wanted for so long that I kind of don't want to even look at it right now because I'm not ready.
Me and Brian went to the Persona 5 localization panel. And I want to call out this panel a little bit because I think they did something really fucked up. And so the first 15 minutes was like just improv. Like they were improvising with the characters. And Brian, you didn't like that too much.
It was okay. It was very fan service-y.
I really enjoyed that, but I'm a piece of shit. So, and I like Tyrion Allen's voice actor. But, and like, that was really fun. And I thought especially the voice actor for Morgana was really funny.
Yeah, and they had Haru, her voice actress.
She was so cute, fucking hell.
So Haru's voice actress loves Haru, and she was cosplaying Haru and looked exactly like her.
Yeah.
And when it was her turn to speak, she got really, really nervous and looked like she was going to cry.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
And she said like two things the entire panel, and when she did, everyone went nuts. And that was really fun. But then, so this is like a big, huge panel. Like the queue was massive, and me and Brian may or may not have shitlorded our way in there.
How did you shitlord your way in
it's
there?
It's not really important.
Okay, so this was in live programming one, which is the biggest like lecture hall, and they weren't letting people in like after the show had started. But me and John figured out a way that if you walk close enough behind someone in a wheelchair, they think you're part of that party, and you can get into.
So that's how big of shitlord Brian and John are.
We hustle, okay? Look, we fucking hustle, and that's our game.
Look, let's just say me and John have plans to get wheelchairs at some point.
Moving swiftly along. But then anyway, they did this thing where it was like, the second half, they start playing this video. And what the video is like this sponsored plug for a food truck that's going to be at the convention. And it was like a 15-minute long video of the voice actors playing a game where they eat food from the food truck blindfolded and then try and pick out the ingredients, and then they give us a code word. And it took up over half the panel, I'd say.
Yeah, and like, this video is playing, and the voice actors are still like at their table watching the video playing. They could have just said this was on YouTube for you to watch.
And honestly, it was fucking gross. Like, I mean, I know, like, we've kind of talked about sponsorships and stuff like recently, and like, I think, you know, it is for everyone to decide their own way of doing it. But when you have, like, a bunch, like, hundreds of people queuing up, some of them I'd say were queuing up probably for hours for that thing. And when you have that, and then you give them a 15-minute panel with a 15-minute YouTube advertisement, I thought that was really gross. Like, genuinely kind of terrible. And, like, people, you know, were, like, laughing and clapping because they're idiots and they don't know any better. But I thought that was really, really shitty of them, and I was really surprised. And I think that was a real dick move by, I don't know if it was Atlas or whoever organized that panel, but I was very disappointed in that. And I think that is the exact kind of thing that makes me super shit, like, pissed off with sponsorship stuff.
And then they went, and that's it, let's take a photo of the voice actors with the audience in the background.
For me, then, the worst part with the Persona 5 panel was that they didn't do a Q&A.
Yeah, I really like panels with voice actors, especially if the voice actor is a bit of a character, which they usually are. And some of the most fun parts can be the Q&A. I wonder, does that have anything to do with, you know, the way there's that really angry group of people who think the Persona 5 localization is, like, really terrible?
But, I mean, even if it is, like, taking that as a question would be interesting. Yeah. Or they could be like, we recorded what we were given, you know? Like, do you think that was just to avoid...
Maybe, but
angry,
like,
questions?
It could have been to do with the streaming thing as well. Like, someone would ask the voice actors, how come I can't stream the whole game? The voice actor would be like, well...
you'd have to ask Atlas. But, yeah, like, that's all they have to say. Like, you have to, I'm just a voice actor. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really odd. Like, I've never heard of a panel that didn't do a Q&A.
Especially for a 100-hour game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Because I had some questions. Like, I wanted to know... what kind of material do they have in advance when they're doing voice recording for a Japanese game?
How much room they have, like, to improvise and stuff like that?
Do they just get, like, a picture of, like, this is who you're playing?
Yeah.
Make a voice. Or did they have, like, the game in Japanese in front of them so that they could kind of get a feeling of what cutscenes were happening, you know?
Did they record all together? Did they record separately?
It was really interesting listening to Vegeta's voice actor, like, when I saw him a couple of years ago, because he was saying, like, they would just get the scripts, like, that week. And so they didn't know what was happening next because there was nowhere you could go and watch Dragon Ball Z. So they'd be like, what? Vegeta dies? You know? he dies, like, 3 times in Dragon Ball Z. It's pretty good. But, yeah, so that was really shitty. And I think people should not do that.
Yeah. Okay, people at the con. Did you guys get any nice guys? Did you get any weirdos?
I was taking some photos for the Let's Fight a Boss Instagram of the Attack on Titan manga pages, and this guy comes up to me and he's just like, are you even a fan?
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I was just like, yeah. And he was just like, okay then. Like, he was pissed that I was taking a photo because he thought I wasn't a fan enough to
appreciate him. What tipped him off that you weren't a fan?
I'm not the same con as you, dude. I don't know. It was just strange.
What a motherfucker.
Yeah. That's never happened to me before. I've never gotten the, like, oh, are you real fun? And then it happened, like, taking a picture of a manga panel.
Me and Brian do sometimes have conversations about whether you're a real gamer girl or not.
I know. I'm faking it pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you try way too hard with these first-person shooters.
Yeah. That's the thing that... Or the Star Wars shit. It's like, no one actually likes Star Wars. It's
very, very suspicious.
Yeah.
You did a meetup?
Oh, boy. Yeah. We'll get into that a little later.
Okay.
I got the Anime Expo high score on Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja.
Bad Dudes was so fucking cool.
That was fun.
That's the one we played, Brian.
Yeah. And your initials in the high score machine were?
Ass.
Of course.
Ron Swanson would be proud of me.
Huge shout out to Funimation for inviting us to their party and giving us free food and drink. That was weird.
That was so cool.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
There was, like, the hunkiest Trunks cosplayer there ever, and I was, like, I was creeping on him a little bit.
You were.
Yeah, he was, like, he was stepped right out of it. It was amazing.
He was, yeah, he was great.
We did a photo shoot, so we took some photos there.
Yeah, oh, that was so cool. And we met Godswill and Tyler, who were the coolest fucking guys.
Yeah, they were nice dudes.
So, so nice. And we did shots out of a giant ice dragon.
Yeah.
Both of you were terrible at it.
I
Yeah, we made fucking fools of ourselves.
I dribbled it all over my t-shirt. Yeah, I can't... Same.
Neve,
like,
just did it.
I can't
just
open my throat.
Like, total asses.
I'm a very neat person.
It did not go down the right tube at all.
But that was really fun. It was really weird to go somewhere where people were like, come right on through to the VIP area.
Yeah.
It was cool. What else did we do? There was a lot of just wandering the halls, and I think I was really impressed by, well, kind of impressed and terrified by the general level of quality at the Artist Alley. Like, it was,
yeah,
it was just like going through it, and it's like, oh my god, there's that thing that has a couple of thousand notes on Tumblr.
Yeah.
Like, these are my art heroes.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm in a room selling with them. Like, it was crazy. It was terrifying, but also like, oh wow, you're real people. Cool.
Yeah, totally. But it was really, really good.
So, you know the way it was, like, super crowded? I just remembered a story I haven't told you guys yet. I just got real rude towards the end. I would just like shove my way through like people that weren't doing anything, just being in the way of others.
Just barreling through.
Well, yeah, but lots of people were just having conversations in front of doorways.
Oh yeah,
that's
people taking selfies in doorways. That was my limit. That's where I was like, this is fucking ridiculous.
I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe like Irish people are better at that, but like, you don't stop in front of a doorway. Just move to the side.
Yeah.
So I think
it's just con teenagers.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of stupid teams. I had to shove past like this one girl, and she actually went like, as I'm walking away, I heard like in the distance, "Excuse me, is that not in your vocabulary?"
She got you.
And I was like, if you talk like that, you deserve to get like shoved aside.
Did you see any good cosplayers?
Oh yeah.
First and foremost, big shout out to the Barra Luco, the guy you met at the Digibro panel. He was fucking awesome. The perfect Luco.
So soft-spoken as well. What a hunk.
What a lovely guy.
We all saw the perfect Dio.
Oh yeah. My god, yeah, he was incredible.
Fuck. He was fucking huge. Like, he was the buffest human I've ever seen. And he was, like, just, like, topless Dio with the scar around his neck from Partridge.
I went to the JoJo meetup because my girlfriend was cosplaying as female Giorno. So I took a lot of photos, and there was a really, really, really good Josuke. And he went up and took a photo with Holly just for a second. Whoa, and it was so sweet.
The most represented cosplay for sure was 2B.
Oh my god, I was really surprised.
2B's like, everywhere from near
Automata. Yeah, like everywhere. You could throw a stone and you'd hit a 2B.
Yeah. And there were so many of them. I think one of my favorites was actually someone we met at the meetup. I think it's April, and she was the Jolene.
Oh, she was really good.
She was so good.
She was fantastic.
Yeah.
She was so pretty, I didn't want to look her in the face.
Yeah, I saw her the previous day, and I was like, oh, I'd like to get a photo, but I'm too shy. But then she came to meet up, and I was like, what the fuck? Well, okay. But she was really lovely as well.
So it was Jolene and Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Together.
They were amazing.
There was a little... You know the grandma from Courage the Cowardly Dog? There was a guy cosplaying as her, and he was just knitting on the steps. It was really good.
And I put it out on Twitter, but I saw a fucking amazing Nefertiti from Hunter x Hunter. Like, scary good.
The cosplay level here is so freaking high.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. What I love as well is, like, I feel like people considered, like, really good cosplayers in Ireland are people who do all, like, the armor and shit like that. Like, they're always the people who win the contests and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like to see a simple cosplay done really, really well, you know? And I think you've got a lot of that over here.
I like the armor cosplays as well. Just because, like, the level of fabrication that goes into that stuff is really impressive.
Totally, yeah.
There wasn't as many, like, Resident Evil, like, SWAT guys here as there is in Ireland.
Yeah, I think that's a teenager thing, because I think the general audience is older over here. But in Ireland, you get a ton of people just walking around in with like SWAT gear and plastic machine guns. I wrote a story about them when I was tabling at QCon called Tactical Boys. And it was about these two boys who are kind of in love and kind of not. And they wear all the tactical gear to their local con. And like one of them, like his family doesn't give a shit. And then the other one, he just lives with his mom. And his mom's like, you take off that right now. You will not wear stuff like that. And you think she's really mean until the end of episode one when she's looking at a photo frame and it's her husband and he used to be a genuine SWAT team person.
Oh my god, I would watch that.
Tactical Boys coming out spring 2019, I think is the target.
Look out for a Kickstarter.
Yeah,
it'd be cool if there was like a terrorist attack at the con and it turns out one of the boys has a real gun and they're like, oh shit, we could probably take on the terrorists because they all think we have plastic guns.
There's a time skip at one point and they're both actual SWAT team members.
And it's called OA Season 2.
But then we also did a Super Eye Patch Wolf Let's Fight a Boss meetup, and that was maybe the most surreal thing I think I've ever done. There was, because like I didn't know who was going to show up to that. Like I genuinely thought we were going to get maybe like 5 or 10 people, but there was like 30 or 40.
Yeah.
There was a point right at the start of it where I was just standing in front of this crowd of people and I was like,
I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
Does anyone want a photo? Like it calmed down. Like you were like anime Jesus for a while. You were standing there, and there was a semicircle of people just firing questions at you. And I was with the cooler Let's Fight a Boss fans, and I was just like, "Do you guys want to go and see what John has to say?" And they're like, "No." Yeah.
Like, we were happy to answer any questions they had.
Once people start listening to this podcast, they rapidly lose respect for me, and that's it. Like, like this podcast makes me less popular. Whoops. Away you go. Sorry, everyone. Sorry for the quality on this one, guys. We're just recording off backup equipment, and it's kind of a pain. But God damn it, we are putting out a podcast today.
It's quality content, even if it's compromised.
Yeah.
We're all sunburnt and tired.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sunburnt.
We're going to Hooters later, though, and that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And no one can say shit because Niamh's coming with us, which makes it okay.
And Niamh's going to buy a Hooters t-shirt. She said so. Ironically.
Yeah, ironically.
But also legitimately, because she's like, oh, it's just a really good fabric. You know, it's just, it's got nice.
I can pull off this color.
I think the Hooters uniform's really cute.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm going to be the cutest girl. The cutest Hooters girl.
Should hit on all the girls there.
The girls will like Niamh better than us. That happens everywhere we go. Whenever we go anywhere, Niamh gets hit on by a girl, and it's weird.
The Deftones concert was really weird.
Yeah, that was so weird.
I don't think we ever talked about that in the podcast.
Oh, we didn't? No, we all went to a Deftones concert, and it was amazing.
This was back in May, and we were like front row balcony, but all around us were people like in their late 20s who like did not want to go into the pit, but also did want to kind of like get a good seat. And you made friends with a couple beside you.
Yep.
And the girlfriend of that couple kept rubbing your back.
She kept, like, at the time I was like, this is normal. And then and then afterwards you guys were like, she was, like, touching you a lot. And she was. She was hugging and rubbing a lot.
And it always seems to be like, I can't remember. I know this other instance where this happened. I just can't remember specifically. But it always seems to be straight girls as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just trying it out.
I'm a good entry-level gay.
Yeah, easy mode.
Yeah, I'm non-threatening.
Brian did
one of the most baller things on that.
That was amazing.
Trip.
Oh, yeah.
There was this like really buff guy who was totally aggro, but it was real fake aggroness. So I came back to the bathroom with this girl, and I had to get by him to get to my seat, and he wouldn't move. He just kept standing there, and I was like, "Hey, can you move?" He just ignored me, so I had to put my hand on his sweaty chest, and this guy was super buff and he was wearing a very, very tiny tank top, to get him to move, and he was like, "Oh, fine," and let me by. But then later on, Brian fixed the entire night. What'd you do, Brian?
Okay, well, first of all, we wanted to do an encore, so I kept slamming the wooden panel in front of us doing the Terminator 2 theme. I'm not going to do it on the table because it'll shake the mic. But it's the and so then they started doing it, but mine was way louder than theirs. But then the drummer, at the very end of the show, threw the drumstick up and I caught it. And the guy beside me was like, "Whoa!" And then I looked at him and squeezed his leg.
This massive, like, aggro muscle guy. And, like, I looked at his face and it was like, he wasn't, like, angry. It was just, like, I think after the show, Brian called him Bershka Tough.
Yeah, it's so true.
And that's such a good line, because Bershka... Are there Bershkas in America?
I don't think so.
Well, no, I think there are.
It's a Spanish brand.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah.
Well, Bershka is like this kind of trendy men's clothes shop. And like when you see someone who's Bershka Tough, it means they go to the gym a lot, but they're not fierce in any way.
Their tattoo is like of a palm tree. Or like they just go into a tattoo shop and they pick the first thing from the flash art that they see.
I knew this guy was a weenie because I saw him texting his girlfriend and he was using way too many heart emojis.
Man.
He's a wiener.
So like I felt hard done by this dude, but it makes me so happy to know that Brian just squeezed his leg.
Brian emasculated him to no end.
Yeah. So I think I worked a lot of that magic going back to the meetup. Worked a lot of that magic with the fans.
Yeah, God, the people at the meetup were so lovely. I couldn't get over that.
I really like giving recommendations. So there was that dude Jack, and he was like,
"Shout outs to Jack."
Yeah, do any more? And I was like, "Oh my God, you need to check out all the Adam Curtis documentaries." So that's going to be my loot drop. I have an Adam Curtis documentary because we all need to watch more documentaries. So here's another one for you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, the meetup was fucking crazy.
It's just crazy to have people be like, "Oh, I'm really talking to you," and it's just like, "I just hear your voice." And it's so strange because like it's just like yeah, we're just two people talking, but you've been listening to me for a while. And they, that's like, so strange.
And think of the amount of time they have been listening as well. Like, think of everything you know about, like, any of the members of Giant Bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And people who listen to us or have listened to us for a while know that level of information about us. We even had some people there. Was there one person there who has been listening from the Dark Ages?
Yeah, yeah.
That's fucking crazy. Jesus.
I really liked when that one dude was like, what's One Piece? So I told them what One Piece was, and they were like, yeah, that's what it is.
But it was really, really fun. And the reason we were able to do a meetup like that is because I put out a face reveal video recently, and Niamh has wanted to do a special section on this. So here we go.
The face reveal was so fun. Like, after John, like, put up the video, we all sat around in the room, had some beers, and read out the comments to each other. So I've saved some of my favorite comments, and so has Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Brian, you want to go first, or will I?
I'll go first. So, should we say the username and then the comment?
Yep, you could say username.
Okay.
They knew what they were doing.
Peter 6. Fuck me, daddy.
God, I asked, was there going to be any of that stuff in this, and you said no.
Ronan 111111. I never expected you to be this square like.
Spiked Pudding Studios. You look like a bootleg Guts.
Aiden. You kind of look like Shrek's human form from Shrek 2.
This is from Fuck School. I am going to play Nier. In caps. You are a white male.
Miguel. I have a theory. You recorded the other guy from Let's Fight a Boss and dubbed your voice over it.
They got us.
That's what they did.
So many people were convinced that you're like Brian and like you're just dubbing your voice over Brian. It's so strange.
I just have a deep voice, okay?
What I love about the dub theory is that if I was really going to dub myself over someone, I'd get someone like actually attractive as opposed to like character creator number two.
This is Jonathan L. He looks like an Irish Tom Cruise.
I saw that coming a bit.
The Annie Maker. Oh my god, I thought you would look like a RuneScape player, not fucking Guts. Laughing my ass off.
Alright, Power One Keg. You look like a 17-year-old boy in the body of a 33-year-old man, but I love you anyway.
Adriel Mercado. Your voice face doesn't match your face. I was expecting some Harry Styles looking mofo, not some CrossFit manimal. I bet you would grow a mean beard. We'll continue watching. He's waiting for that beard.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people being like, please grow a beard.
You'd be like Ryu with his beard.
Yeah.
Do you have any more? That's all I got.
Get the fuck off, you fucking normie. Don't touch my cartoons anymore.
Fair.
Oh shit, he's a normal person. And then my favorite one, because it kind of is just, like, out of nowhere. This is from Mido, Magic Cove. I want to die right now, .. but I'm fucking scared. That is nothing to do with
you. Wow, okay. That's more statements on that guy's life,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I was like, is he okay?
Yeah, that... Oh, man, the face reveal was so weird. I didn't know what reaction people had. And I thought, like, it would only... I thought it would also only get, like... Like 10, maybe 20,000 views from Hyper Curious people. It has 100 fucking thousand views at the moment.
It's got more views than videos you spent a long time.
It's got more views than videos I poured my heart and soul into, and that just crushes me.
Here's all the people people have said you look like.
Okay.
So Guts is by far the most one. Guts, yes. Or Son of Guts. Then Ed Jojo, just any of them. Tom Cruise, Brian Stan, Thomas Gibson, Adam Levine, Nolan North, Simon Cowell, Jason Schwartzman, Fred Flintstone, Garen from League of Legends, Daniel Day-Lewis, and young Scott Hall.
I mean, they're all men.
Yeah, they're all dark-haired men. I think, like, the most, for me, the most accurate one is Tom Cruise. When someone pointed out that you looked like Tom Cruise before, I was just like, oh shit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, specifically young Tom Cruise.
Oh yeah.
Not Scientology Tom Cruise.
It was really weird, like, meeting people at the con, because the face reveal video only went up, like, the day before. And so there was one lad I met, and he was like, "What?" Someone said something about Super Eye Patch Wolf, and he goes, "Wait, you're Super Eye Patch Wolf?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he looked me really slowly, like head to toe, toe to head, and he just goes, "What the fuck?"
People expected you to be like, this was the one that cropped up all the time, was skinny with long blonde hair.
I don't get where that came from.
Maybe it's your voice.
Maybe.
You're soft-spoken and you like things that teenagers like.
Yeah, no, I do, totally. Yeah, it was such a weird one. It was weird going up to Nino, who I met after the Digibro panel. You were there for that, Brian.
Yeah.
So do you know what he was saying just before I came up to him?
What?
He was explaining to people how he doesn't get freaked out meeting people in real life anymore.
Because, yeah, then he turns around and him and the boys are all like, whoa!
Yeah, they're. I was just like, hey, I'm Super iPad 12. And everyone just went, oh! That was an experience.
Yeah. I didn't go to enough panels or enough, like, sit-down things.
But they take so much time to get into as well. It's like you have to queue up for, like, 2 or 3 hours for some of them.
Yeah, you do.
You went to Mega 64, didn't you?
Oh, how was that?
That was amazing. It was so good. They had the full crew there, which is usually something they don't usually have. They usually only have, like, 1 or 2 of them. But they had all of them this time, and it was so fucking funny. It was 1.5 hours long. Like, it was, like, exactly what you want from a panel. And they're real good at, like, handling people who are giving out, or people who are asking stupid questions. So they had the boy from Nier.
9S.
They had a 9S, but he was doing, like, a bit with his question where he was just talking about LAN parties and MOBAs and how he was on a server, but it's not good. And Rocco from Mega 64 just goes, this fucking sucks. And then I think Sean or Derek said, Deadpool is embarrassed for you.
Oh, fuck, that's...
And then they told him to fuck off back to Kingdom Hearts.
Oh my god.
And he just walked away with a big smile on his face.
Do you think he achieved his purpose? Like, do you think that's what he wanted?
I want to be heckled by Mega 64.
Yeah, and then, like, the final question, they just had a guy come up and they were like, okay, this is the last question, make it count. And he was like, so you guys are, like, into anime and Disney, but you're like, you know Disney was a fascist, so, like, you guys promoting fascism. Oh, do you think god. Japan still has fascism, you know, when it's anime? And they were just like, well, good night, everyone, and just shut off the lights.
Nah, yeah, I would have loved to see those guys. It was like the only time I could go for a drink with Digibro was just that panel, so I was like, ah, fuck. But,
you got a network.
It wasn't really about networking. I just think me and Digi have been staring at each other from across the room for long enough now that I needed to. Like, I'm not, like, I have no plans to do any collabs with anyone I met. I just wanted to put actual people to these weird online identities.
Yeah, shake their hands, get to know them.
Yeah. I met up with a bunch of people. I went for dinner with Jeff from Mother's Basement again. It was good to see him again. And hung out a lot with Keiko Cat, which was fucking awesome, and hung out with her friends, and they were all equally awesome. And it's like, damn, I wish they didn't live in America. And also got to see the love of my life, Rising Superstream Liam, once again. And I love that boy so much. You can see cute pictures of us online. I also have cute videos of us, but we'll see what I'll do with them.
They're private time.
He does try to kiss me in them.
Oh dear.
You're my favorite ship. So Liam and John, or would it be Liam and Super iPatch Wolf? I'm trying to think of what's his, like, username?
Rising Superstream.
Oh, Rising Super Eye Patch.
Rising Super Wolf.
Yeah, Rising Super Watch Wolf. That's the ship name.
Yeah, I'll be disappointed if no Dutch Inchies come out of that.
Mm-hmm. I am fully erect for this concept.
Yeah.
It's rising.
But God, I met a bunch of people. Like, I only talked to some of them briefly, but, like, Giguk was there and I had a little chat with him, which was really nice. Aki Dearest and Joey the Anime Man are both there. They seem really cool. Holden's anime reviews and probably a bunch of others I'm leaving out. But man, everyone was chill as fuck. Like, it was really, really cool to meet them all. So with that, should we move on to our emails? I'm so sorry, everyone. The next podcast episode is going to be amazing.
This is what you mean. This is the best thing we've ever done.
Probably.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
Promise things we can't deliver.
Vacation. That's what they call holidays in America. Vacation.
Oh, I asked some guy where the bathroom was, and he was like, you mean the restroom?
Oh, yeah, and, like, footpaths, but it's called sidewalk.
Yeah, and I was just, like, bin, and they were, like, trash can.
I'm still trying to get used to dollars. Like, it's all the same size and color, The only difference is the number in the corner.
The girl in Target thought it was very endearing because it was just like, oh, I don't know what this money is. I was like, please give me a moment.
And the way it is, like, they've got a 1 cent, and then they have a 5 cent, and then a 10 cent, and a quarter.
Yeah.
That's it.
Neve, do you have any emails you got there?
Oh yeah, shit taste. Okay, this is from Carlos, and the figure, the title of the email was "You have shit taste." So we were like, "Oh shit!"
Oh no!
But here's the body of the email. Hello guys, just wanted to say I love your content. You make silly mundane tasks 1.048596 times better.
Like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Simple opening question: what do you think of people with shit taste?
I don't think shit taste exists. I think, okay, if you I think if you genuinely like something, you're never wrong for liking it. Mm-hmm. You know. Now, I think sometimes you have to be like, I like this super fucking problematic thing. You know, like, I don't think this is like a healthy depiction of the world, but I also get a lot of pleasure from it, and that's okay.
I think taste, like with taste for food, it's developed. Like, you can't have taste unless you try multiple things, you know? So maybe right now someone would be like, oh, you shit taste because you like this kind of basic thing or whatever. And like, I even then, I don't think that's shit taste. But that's the first step on a journey of finding other stuff that might appeal to you, you know?
Totally, totally. But I think, I feel like a lot of the times people feel like as their taste moves on, they need to start disliking the things that started them there. And I've just never understood that. And I'm like, I like Dragon Ball Z now as much as I liked it when I was 14, and I'm going to continue liking it. Even though I like, even though Hunter x Hunter is like infinitely better story in every possible capacity, but I still love Dragon Ball Z, you know?
Don't forget what got you there, man.
Yeah, totally. And so I think the idea that your taste is something you need to like prune and refine is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, it's something you should develop, but like, If someone was like, that person has shit tastes, I would instantly become way less interested in having a conversation with them, because they're one of those people who sees their taste in media as like a badge of honor, which is ridiculous. I would much rather talk to someone who genuinely thought Sword Art Online was amazing than I would talk to someone who was really interested in explaining why it's shit, or why people shouldn't like it or whatever. Because...
or why the people who like it are shit specific.
Exactly. Because I know why people don't like Sword Art Online, but God, to hear someone like go to bat for it, I'd be so fascinated. Mm-hmm. Like, a genuine fan go to bat for it.
And what's good taste? Like, if someone was just like, I only watch French cinema, I'd be like, oh, fuck off, I never want to talk to you, like, ever.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Like, and you would be like, on paper, wow, what good refined taste, but you're also like, as a human, I just don't care, or give a shit.
And like, even, I think it's interesting, especially like, around... YouTube anime is very interesting, because I think I could see alternate timelines where a different version of Digibro made a pro Sword Art Online video that was 50 minutes long and blew up, and then the general consensus from there on was that Sword Art Online was good, you know? Because mm-hmm. I do think those videos shape a lot of what Western fans think of these kind of shows, you know?
Oh yeah, you become a fan of someone, and like, it's
and someone's... then you take the word as gospel.
Yeah, it's just like, and that's not really how things work.
No. And like, when you put out a video of something, if that video blows up, it's crazy to see the massive effect it has on the thing. Like, I don't check Google trending stuff very much, but you remember the Perfect Blue video I did?
Mm-hmm.
I checked the Google trending, and after I did that video, Perfect Blue was trending harder on the internet, like by a factor of 20, than it had ever trended in its entire life. And I think that's really weird, because it's like, oh, it's like shaping the general consensus of what people make of this stuff, mm-hmm. you know?
It's like high school.
Yeah, it is though, you know, like someone
someone says you're popular.
Yeah. And it's just that with movies. But yeah, I think I'm always interested to hear anyone's taste, and the more different someone's taste is to mine, the better. Because like, even like, I asked Digibro why did he like Gintama, because I was having trouble understanding why.
He was trying to pitch it to you then.
Yeah, and he did a good job. Like I kind of get it a bit better now. But instead, if I had just been like, Gintama's shit, I wouldn't have learned that, and I wouldn't have had that context. So, I don't know. I think people who think shit taste is a thing, they have shit taste.
Mm-hmm. I really like when someone tells you something is shit and then they tell you why and you're like, that sounds really good.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm going to watch that. Like Split.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
People should... I don't know. I don't think people should watch Split. I don't think it's worth watching.
Morbid curiosity is always a good reason to watch something. Like, I just like to watch things just so I know. Like, so I can develop my own feelings on it and be like, yeah or no. Or just like, you know, you just kind of want to know.
Yeah.
Like, as someone who probably had, between the three of us, has the shittest taste, who's like...
I wouldn't agree with that.
I think I jump between liking the best stuff and the worst stuff, and you're like, what?
Yeah, but that's what's interesting about your recommendations.
Mm. Yeah, but I will recommend you stuff you do not like, and I'm like, I really, really like that.
Yeah.
And then other stuff I'll recommend you, and you're like,
Like, you've recommended me some of my favorite films ever, and some of my least favorite films ever.
Yeah, I just watch a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But then I'm also very, very dismissive of things as well. I try to keep an open mind, but it's not that open.
But like, you watch stuff to develop that opinion. You're not going to be like, I hate this shit before you even see it or not.
No, like, I'll try and give most things a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people should ever like be ashamed of liking something, mm-hmm. like, or feel apologetic over it. Like, Niamh, you adamantly defend the Star Wars prequels.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah.
It's like, and I like the Resident Evil films, you know, it's, they're shitty, but they speak to me.
Or like popular media, like, I'm a 29 year old man, but I do like Harry Potter and I do like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really supposed to like those.
Yeah, but like the idea of like, well, I think, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean is so mainstream. It's like, whoa, dude, what a fucking amazing opinion. Like, wow, you must have a degree in film. Holy shit, you know, it's like...
Everything's fucking mainstream. Everything's meant to be seen.
Yeah.
Like, I really like Captain Jack Sparrow, and I like Ron Weasley. They're just great lads.
Sure.
Great fictional characters. Sure.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, I think if you're really serious... I think when you're not serious about media, you don't care about taste. If you're like halfway in, you really give a shit about taste. And then if you're all the way in, you realize taste is fucking dumb and just like what you like.
All throughout college, like, and if you're into like if you went to kind of film college, there was the certain movies that were like the ones you have to see to have good taste. Have you seen like the Three Colors films?
Oh, I like those films.
Me too, but Christoph, it was kind of like,
he's really cool.
But it's like there was like a laundry list of the good taste films that you would have to see to be like, you know, into film
in
the
right film way. Buff.
Yeah, it's just like, and it became everyone's same list, like, you know, and that's not interesting either.
That totally exists in anime. I've been recommended Ashita no Joe and Legend of the Galactic Heroes so many times, and those shows are maybe like no, they're probably really good, but I also sometimes people are like, no, your eyes aren't open yet, you need to see these, and it's like, I'm still gonna like the shit I like the one I always get in my Hajime no Ippo video is like, if you think Hajime no Ippo is good, you need to see Legend of the Galactic or Ashita no Joe, and it's like, yeah, it's probably good, but the things I like about Ippo are so specific to this thing, it's not like it's going to retroactively make it like it less. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never seen something that made me retroactively like something else less.
Yeah, know? It just makes you like it more or appreciate other stuff more, and like, take things as individual things as well, you know?
Yeah, totally. What else we got? Great question, by the way. That was a fun one. Brian, who has shit taste in film?
Who has shit taste?
Yeah, let's just fucking smear someone right now.
Okay. Film critic Mark Kermode, I have a lot of respect for him, but he thinks the Twilight movies are genuinely good. Like, all of them, especially the last film.
Wow.
Now, when he saw those films, he had his daughter was in her tween
years.
Doesn't
count. Does not count.
So he saw those films with his daughter, and I think that's what kind of made him like those films. I think if he saw those films in a different capacity, he would see that they're not good.
I think the first and third Twilight movies are fine watches.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Second one's real bad.
But like, he loves the Twilight movies, and he like puts them up there with Star Wars.
I think he said they're better than Star Wars.
Yeah, I think he was just doing it to wind up.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm not sure if he was being serious or not. Like, he's really weird like that. Like, you know, sometimes you hear stuff like that. Like, you can't, like, follow someone 100% on their opinion.
No. And, like, the things that make you like something are so fucking personal as well.
Yeah.
I just saw John's face. This is from Nathan. I just saw John's face reveal and was shocked that this charming boyish voice came from looked like an Irish Scott Hall. I always figured he'd look like Chris O'Neill or something, but the muscles on muscles comments are just aren't unjustified. It makes me wonder if King Brian looks like Griffith or something. You can see what Brian looks like on the Instagram.
Yeah, there's a ton of like photos of us out there now.
I look like a thumb with a beard.
Oh my god,
Brian, you're beautiful.
Beautiful thumb.
Two questions. Is it weird for Irish people to hear their own accents in TV and film? In Australia, it's immersion shattering hearing our own voices compared to others like Americans. If John is Scott Hall, who are the other NWO members? Are Brian and Neve? With love from Australia, Nathan.
Okay, I'm going to answer that last question first. Neve is Kevin Nash. Brian is Hulk Hogan.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Cool.
Too sweet.
Too racist.
My wrestling fans will get that one.
I used to be like really bothered by Irish accents, but the older I've gotten, the more I appreciate hearing them because I'm like, yeah, you go.
Oh, I got a fucking amazing question from someone. They genuinely asked me, and if you're listening, I'm sorry, but this is just really, really funny. They genuinely asked me, is anime dubbed with like Irish accents in Ireland?
Yes and no.
No.
Hey, Yu Hakusho has an Irish ninja in it.
Oh, that's true. That's
You're a fine fight for me, Yosuke, but you're no match for my wind powers.
It's like no Irish accent you hear on TV is an Irish person doing that accent. Like, very rarely.
No. Like, even in something like Fair City, which is an Irish soap opera, they kind of put up the old dub accent.
Yeah, they do a bit.
The old Dublin, how's it going? Come here to me, will ya?
I wonder, do like specific Irish accents sound the same to Americans? Or do they like, oh, that's a different accent?
For me, I love non-television American accent. Because I know when they're on American television, that there's a different like frequency and pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear it like out in the wild, it's way more, oh my god!
Yeah, it's really shrill.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, your houses are really small. Do not say that outside people's houses. Like, just don't do it. I was on a bus before in Dunleary, and like, there's this woman, and she's like, their houses are tiny. Like, they are so small, and everyone in the bus just looked by her.
What the fuck?
This is like, they were going through a residential area. Everyone was getting off there. It was like, lady, don't do that.
Jesus.
That's so funny. Okay, I have a story. I was in Disneyland yesterday, and we went on this, it's not a ride, but it's like a little stage show called the Tiki Lounge. And in it, it has animatronic birds singing a song. So there's four main birds, and the first one is a Mexican bird, and they're like, it's time to wake up. And he's like, ay, 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 you woke me up from my siesta. I was just trying to take a nap. And then he's like, well, I wake up my friends. Hey, Michael, are you awake? Oh, sure, it's me, Michael. How's it going?
What the fuck?
And it was an Irish bird with, like, a weird, like, bellowy, like, Oscar Wilde accent. And it's like, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. And I was like, that's not... I'm not offended.
No, like, I'm not really... I don't get offended about Irish stuff.
So, you know how I just did that sleepy Mexican voice, but then I just did the hotty-totty?
You saved it.
But that's, like, which one... I'm cool with the Irish one. I just thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
But then everyone in the room thought it was really funny because then they had like a French bird and they had a German bird.
I think mainland Europe is different because it doesn't cross like racial lines.
Yeah, and there's not like... Well, like, I mean, Ireland was like oppressed and enslaved for a long time.
We were oppressed as a nation, not as a race.
Yeah, 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 totally.
Different thing.
Although, I guess a little bit in America... No blacks, no Irish, no dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we don't suffer that anymore.
But we can just change our accent and we can look like any old whitey.
Yeah.
People probably don't notice, but like regionally, we all have three different Irish accents.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like, they probably, like, I think that doesn't come across at all.
So John's from the east of Ireland in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
He is from the west.
The mean streets.
He is from the west in Offaly. And I'm from the south in Cork. And then up north, they have a completely different accent.
Yeah,
did I do a northern accent before?
No, I don't think you have.
So people up north sound like they're walking up and down the stairs as they speak.
That's so specific.
Like sometimes they'll go up the stairs, but then sometimes they'll go down the stairs. But this is what they sound like up north.
It's like, it's kind of like a more singy Scottish accent or something.
Yeah. Like when you say you've played a game, you say you've played a game. So your A's are always softer, lighter A's. They're always A's. They're not A.
We take one more? Are we good?
Yeah, one more.
But there's all like very, very like minute differences in the dialects.
Yeah, completely.
I forgot to mention, me and Brian bought matching El Felt t-shirts from Guilty Gear.
Yeah, I'm not wearing mine at the moment, but maybe for Hooters we should wear them together.
I'd say the girls at Hooters would be fucking into that.
They'd be like, are you guys brothers? And we'd be like, yeah, brothers who like to spend a lot of time playing video games. Can I tell another Disneyland story while you're searching?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so on the way back, all right, the way we got out to Disneyland is we just took like a regular LA city bus. So it's the 460, and the final stop is Disneyland, and it goes from downtown LA to Disneyland. There's quicker ways to get there, but without 4G and data, you're just dependent on Wi-Fi. It's so frustrating over here.
Yes.
Like, you really don't realize how useful having mobile data is until it's taken away from you, because it costs a fortune to use the roaming. So it was a 2-hour bus trip, but on the way home, the bus driver let us all on the bus for free. And he was such a funny bus driver.
Oh, he sounded amazing.
Okay, so he was this dude with dreads, and he was like, okay, everybody, I know you're just back from Disneyland, but it's time to ride the bus. I don't want no dancing on the bus. There's a yellow line. You have to stay behind that yellow line. If you stay behind, and if you don't stay behind the yellow line, you're going to have a bad time. Stay in your seats. Lady, I don't speak Spanish. No habla español, but stay in your seat.
Okay, this isn't a question, but this is like, I don't know if this is true with this. But Gal Gadot was pregnant during the film of Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah, she was. Yeah. I looked that up afterwards.
The bottom part of her torso is CG. Not a question, a cool fact.
Yeah.
Love your show.
So what they did was, they had to do reshoots, because it's a superhero movie and they always have to do reshoots. She was pregnant, and so she had to wear a green screen patch over her tummy. And they CGI'd her waistline to be, you know...
So they probably did the fight scenes before all of this. This was just
yes,
like general stuff.
Yeah.
That's
so
insane.
That okay. Did you watch the film yet?
No, not yet.
In the film, she's wearing a cloak a lot of the time,
mm-hmm.
and she only takes off the cloak when she's doing the Wonder Woman stuff. But other than that, she actually has like a full cloak covering everything.
Interesting.
It's like in season 3 of Kimmy Schmidt, like the actress is pregnant as well, so she's wearing a lot of bigger clothes and stuff. It's like works well.
They did it in Seinfeld as well, because Elaine was like pregnant like 3 times over this process of that show.
Where?
So yeah, she just wore a lot of wide clothing, but her character already wore that anyway.
The worst they did it was in Will and Grace, where Grace was pregnant and they just literally put her over like on the couch under like loads of coats for an entire season.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember they did it for one season of How I Met Your Mother with your one Willow.
Alison Rosenberg?
Allison Hannigan.
Yeah, there we go.
Allison Hannigan. So she was pregnant, but in one episode, they had her enter a hot dog eating competition, and she got up, and she was like, oh, I'm full.
That's great.
Oh my gosh.
It's just really funny.
Niamh, do you want to tell the story about the photo?
What photo?
The one we talked about this morning, with the sparkles.
Oh, yeah. At the meetup, John was taking a selfie with a really nice girl, and I thought, like, I mean, surely she would like want me from Let's Fight a Boss in the photo too. So I got in between the two of them, and like I did a sweet like Vogue pose. She put the photo online, and she has very strategically placed a star over my face and ballooned me out completely.
She was so lovely, and she made that photo better.
Yeah, she did. I'm going to use that as my profile photo. Maybe she didn't know who I was, but like, and now she totally regrets it.
Yeah, now she's like, oh no, that was Niamh.
That was Niamh.
It was cool when some people asked us to sign their badges.
Oh yeah, this lovely guy asked me to sign. There were Sharpies going around. Yeah. Like, he asked me to sign his badge, and I just wrote Niamh, and I was like, wait, shit. Like,
I just
wrote something better.
I just wrote my initials because they're cool.
Yeah.
Boss.
It was really weird talking to people because sometimes, like, sometimes people are there for a while, and to like kind of, you know, gently move them along, I'd be like, would you like me to sign anything or a photo? And I always asked really, it always felt really weird asking people, do you want a photo?
Yeah.
But because it was like, do you want a photo with me? You know? But then everyone was always like, yeah, 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 please. But I think they just get nervous about asking.
I really like that you did a Snapchat video for a guy.
Oh yeah, man, I wish I could see that. Yeah, some guy asked me to recommend One Piece to his friends. I can't remember. I was like, okay, everyone, sit the fuck down, shut the fuck up. We all have to watch One Piece now.
I want to give a shout out to a guy, and I can't remember your name, and that sucks, but he had the Hannibal pop vinyl, and we talked about like Halo and stuff for ages, and Destiny.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was he at the meetup?
Yeah.
He was lovely.
He's like, he is ready for Destiny 2, and we're going to go down that like horrible...
The last thing you need is an enabler.
Yeah.
I didn't get everyone's name, but I tried to try and get as much names as possible, but they're all lovely, lovely people.
Yeah, it was really nice. It's nice doing your own meetup, because your jokes can be really shitty and everyone will laugh anyway.
Yeah. That's going to be the smallest meetup you're ever going to do from here.
I don't know about that. Like, if we do one like at DCC, like,
oh yeah, you know, there'd be like two Irish people there.
But the next big one would probably be Magfest, and that should be fun.
Oh shit.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, genuinely thanks to everyone who showed up. It really made this last year and a half real. In a kind of strange way, because other than that, you're just like looking at.
Nice.
You're right, Brian.
I was trying to check the time because we were winding up.
Yeah, we should finish up.
And but, I dropped my phone.
But it really made the whole thing kind of real in a weird way, because other than this, it's just like watching numbers slowly go up and actually meeting people who are like, oh, watch your videos. Like, oh shit, there's actually people watching my videos. This isn't some. Well, it might still be an elaborate ruse, but it's now a far more complicated elaborate ruse.
Me and Brian are just sitting at the computer refreshing, and we've made multiple accounts commenting.
It was cool because there were people there that support you on Patreon.
Yeah,
I love it. There were patrons.
Yeah. I'm still annoyed about that cosplayer who I didn't meet.
Oh.
Some fucking big famous cosplayer.
Yeah, like Stella Chu. Yeah. She's a patron of John's, and she was there, and John had no idea.
Yeah, I only found out like 5 minutes before the con ended, and it was like, well, bollocks. But I mean, I still got to meet like loads of cool people. So yeah, huge thank you to everyone. We're gonna be at DCC, and then I think the next big con after that will be Magfest, and then I'm also doing QCon in Galway as well. So look forward to them, and I expect to see you all there. Okay, real quick loot drop.
Yeah, real quick.
Okay, I'm gonna recommend our boy. Our sweet baby boy, H Bomber Guy, put out another video, and he put out two videos recently, but the one I really loved was the video on plagiarism. I love seeing motherfuckers get called out for bad behavior, and he really calls some people out. So check that out.
I love an Adam Curtis documentary about Silicon Valley and Ayn Rand.
I'm going to loot drop the Overwatch animation short and their Batman of Shanghai short as well. They're really awesome.
Yeah, I think I might mention them in the favorite things video. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back in 2 weeks with our regularly scheduled hardcore Let's Fight a Boss programming.
Bye.
Thanks for getting through this one.
Yeah, thanks so much. We're so sorry. We love you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Help. I love it when you activate your hips and push your ass out. Got a brother wanting it so bad I'm about to pass out. Gonna dig you, and I can't even lie about it, baby. Just alleviate your clothes, I'ma fly out. Catch you at the club, your hips have got me feeling. Body talking quick to me, but I can't comprehend the meaning. Now if you wanna roll with me, then hit some chance. Do an 80 on the freeway, catch me if you can. But to me, I'm a rider, still I'm just a single man. All I want is money plus the fame, I'm a single man. Mr. International, player with a passport. Just like a last switch, get you anything you ask for. Either him or me, the champ.
campaign. In the seed favor that my homies will be crossed on our enemies. Witness as we creep to a low speed. What my foes need, make some OGs. You don't need approaching women with a passion for the long day. But I've been driven by attraction in a strong way. Your body is banging, baby. I love the way you're flowing. Tell me, give it to daddy. Trust not just to fool your lust. Coming to get you on a bus, it's so ironic. Exotic, I'm the verge of erotic. I'm hitting switches on misses like I'm fixing it. I'm running my up and down like a roller coaster. Can I come inside you? I ain't stopping till the show is over. Cause I'm erotic, in and out just like a Robin Hood. I'll probably be a freaking let you get on top of me. Get the rocking knees, nights full of Alice A. A living legend, you ain't heard about them players. Living Cali days, the Lord's tucking you with faith in me. Instead of trying to help a brother, wanna take it.
How you want it?